I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is brought to you this week by Roku.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time for another Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon netcast. And this, for those of you that are not aware, and of course none of you are, this is the second time I've done this show. Because my mic messed up. What is it with microphones? They're supposed to just record sound, not go... Just saying. I have my trusty tablet here, and I'm all ready to roll. I'm going to move this down without pushing any buttons. Let's make sure I didn't push any buttons on the old microphone pack. Otherwise, I'll have another frustrating experience. Let's not do that. Okay. So... I did the show already, so I know what it was earlier when it was not recorded properly. And I liked it. So let's just do it again. You know, you gotta keep your sense of humor about these things. Yes. All right, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, drbill.tv, and Dr. Bill, the redo. That's French. I don't know French. I barely know English, much less French or Spanish. You know, that would be episode dos. Anyway, or at least take dose, maybe is the better way of looking at it. Anyway, Durcaster is out for real this time. We released it prematurely, and it had bugs in it, and I'm sorry, if you downloaded it from September the 1st until now, go back and re-download it just to be safe. You don't know what point you may have gotten in the mix. You know what I'm saying? The final release is now the final release. And that's the point of this particular thing. Yes. And I am very happy with the end result. Henry Ratliff, our super duper PHP code guru, has outdone himself on this one. This is an awesome release. Has a lot of not only new features, but bug fixes that we found while we were creating the new features. The new feature, of course, being the cloud option. Cloudiness. I like that. You know me, I like clouds. So, I encourage you to go to durcaster.org and download it for your perusal and your geekery pleasure. Next item! The moon before this decade is out 50 years ago today. Now, this is, of course, September 12th when I posted this. So on September 12th, NASA did something really cool. And I was able to take a break from work because it was real close to lunch. And so I just took my break. And I watched this replay of NASA replaying the entire speech, not just an excerpt, but the entire speech by President John F. Kennedy, challenging us to go to the moon at the exact time it was given, 50 years ago in 1962. And I got to sit there at my desk and listen to the speech, and I'm telling you, it was very cool. I mean, think about it. Think about this. This speech was given 50 years ago. Kennedy was saying we should go to the moon before the decade was out. That is the decade of the 60s. They made it to the moon in July of 1969, so they just made it before the decade was out. And Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, and then Neil Armstrong just passed away recently, and he was just this past week buried at sea. I mean, that's pretty wild for all this to happen within the 50-year time frame. So, you know, I think we ought to commemorate it all by just planning to go to Mars. Let's set a goal to go to Mars. You know, I mean, after all, it's there. Right? And the Martians, they've already been, so they don't have to go. We're the ones need to go. I don't know if they're Martians. If they are, they're probably sitting up there going, why aren't the humans coming? That's a good question. We need to go. So make plans now. I can see it now. Hey, let's go on our summer vacation. No. I'm talking about actually going to Mars. We can do it. We went to the moon. Anyway, next item. Actually, before we do the next item, let me do a little service to one of our sponsors. Our sponsor, of course, is Roku. The Roku box is awesome. I love my Roku. We're going to have more Roku-related news later. But right now, I want to encourage you to go to the DrBill.tv website, find the ad on the right-hand side column of the website, and click on the Roku ad. I will put it right there in the corner so you'll know what you're looking for. Go to that ad, click on it, and order yourself a Roku. I'm telling you. You'll get a great deal, you'll get a great box, and you'll be able to get a whole bunch of programming. Yes. A lot of it for free, including what I'm about to tell you about later in the show. So hang in there. All right, little known tech fact. Gmail, you're familiar with Gmail. Well, Gmail does not recognize dots in email addresses. What's up with that? So like, you know, a lot of companies create email addresses that have like joe.user@whatever company. You know what I'm saying? Well, Gmail, dots don't even register. So joe.user@gmail is the same as joeuser@gmail is the same as j.o.e. You get the idea. Right? So anyway, you might say, well, who cares? Well, it's just a little known fact. Kind of a fun fact. But if you've been receiving email to your account and it's got dots in the username and you're thinking, that's not my email address. Why is that? Why are people sending me things to somebody that isn't me? Well, it is you. Just without the dots. You sans dots. Okay. Some of you that may have, you know, freckles probably want to be sans dots. But don't worry about it. Freckles give you character. Okay. You know, I don't have freckles. I have, sadly, age spots in a few places, but we won't go there. Whoa! Zowie, Fred. Must you always surprise me? Must you? I thought so. Okay. This is the Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is Riot. Now that's R-I-O-T, Riot. It's one of those, you know how coders are. They love acronyms. Yes, they do. I'm going to clip my little clippy thing here so it quits bothering me. It keeps moving and making my earpiece thing shift around, which is annoying. And I've already been annoyed too much for one day. Already. So anyway, Riot stands for Radical Image Optimization Tool. Now, what this is for, if you've ever uploaded an image to the web and it was just too big and it took forever to load, it kind of went load, 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 load. What? You know what I'm talking about. Your image was too big. Now, you can make it progressive so it kind of goes fade, 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 and fades in. That's okay. But what's even better is to keep the quality of the image but strip out all the image, non-image related fileness. and make it smaller. You might say, how do you do that? Well, it's magic, of course. There are little elves in the program going, sprinkle, sprinkle. They don't know. It strips out all the things you don't need. Magic? Okay, that works for me. Anyway, the point is, radical image optimization tool, you basically take your image. Here's the thing. See, I had some images for these very programs like this Netcast, and iTunes requires really big, huge images these days because they keep making, you know, higher resolution screens and they want the images to look pretty on their screens. And so they recently, relatively within the last year, put out a little edict. You know how these people are. Edicts. Anyway, saying they wanted the images to be 1400 by 1400 pixels. What? I mean, entire computer screens back in the day were only 6400 by 480 pixels. This is one little thumbnail image. 1400 by 1400. I ask you, where's the sense in that? Anyway, so I created images of that size, being an obedient little iTunes minion, content producer. And I put it out there, but it was almost a full meg, not K, meg in size. Actually, it was one that was over a meg. And of course, it downloaded to the screen like before it finally got there. And it wouldn't even do that if you were on dial-up. I mean, who's on dial-up anymore? You know what I'm saying? But if you were, it wouldn't even appear. It'd probably just sit there and go. So, anyway, the answer is the Geek Software of the Week riot. You pull your image into the program. Your program into the image. That wouldn't work. Your image into the program, and it has a little slider, and you can actually look at how bad you can make the image and make it really tiny, or how big it is, but it looks really good, and then you kind of try to find the balance where it's the best point, and you go, up. That's it right there. In my case, I was able to get them down to 70, roughly 69 to 70K from a full meg. That's a lot of reduction of size, you know what I'm saying? And yet they still look pretty good. Okay, picture of me, but still pretty good. So there you go. So check it out. I guarantee you, you'll have fun with it even if you don't need it. But probably you need it and don't even know it. So go for it, particularly if you're a webmaster. Dude, I'm telling you. Okay, next item. Google does the right thing and drops support for stinky Microsoft web browsers before IE9. Now here's a rant for you. I'm in a curmudgeonly mood since I particularly just did this whole program once already. And it was funny too. I liked it. Anyway. Stinky Microsoft web browsers. Microsoft has a history of having the crummiest, most rotten, ugliest, your mother dresses you funny web browsers on the interwebs. Yes, particularly previous, well, I started to say previous to IE6. Previous to IE6, they were completely sorry and ugly and stupid and dumb, and I can't even think of enough things to say that are bad. But by IE6, a lot of companies had standardized on IE6, and IE6 didn't support web browser, the web standards worth anything. And so it literally led to people who were webmasters like myself having to write code to see, are you using IE6? If so, let's dumb your site down to make it work with IE6, and you can't use all the cool stuff that's actually in the web standards. I'm not joking. There's still code out there in websites that say, oh, you're on IE6. Here we go. There's even some websites that if they see you're on IE6, they flash up a little, you know, pop-up that says, you are on IE6. Fooey on you. We're not going to support it, so go away. I've seen them while playing with IE6 just because I have to at work. Anyway, Microsoft eventually came out with IE7, which was better. It was only putrid, not completely nasty. And then they came out with IE8, which was better. It only smelled a little. And then finally now they've got IE9, which is marginally out of date smelling. You know, it's just kind of like you open up the milk and you smell it and you go, yeah, maybe I can use it in my coffee. You know what I'm saying? You been there? Okay, so IE10 is about to come out. Who knows, maybe this one will smell like lilac. I don't know. It's not out yet. But at any rate, all of that to say that Google is doing the right thing, but by dropping support for web browsers earlier than IE9, they're just refusing to write code to support ugly, stupid, smelly web browsers, and so I'm down with that. Yes. So if you haven't upgraded your web browser, what's up with that? Upgrade your web browser. And the best upgrade is to go to Chrome, okay? Or Mozilla Firefox or Opera, okay? Just say it. Okay, this week everybody was talking apples. Not the kind you eat. I'll read, it's only a tiny little paragraph. I'll just read this. All anyone wanted to talk about in the tech world this week was Apple. The new iPhone 5 and the fact that their stock went higher than ever before. Whoopee. What can I say? I'm not an Apple fanboy. And I like Android phones. So maybe I'm a little bit of an Android fanboy. Anyway, so there you go. So while everyone else drools over the iPhone 5, I am happy to play with my Android phone and fast forward through all the Apple hype. I know. Some will say I'm just dissing Apple because I don't have one, and I'm jealous. To which I say, na-na-na-na boo-boo. Okay? I'm just in a mood. What can I tell you? And speaking of moods, I'm going to switch into a slightly more somber mood. You know, in our write-ups at various locations, like at techpodcast.com and so forth, we say things like, Dr. Bill makes controversial observations. Most of my observations really aren't that controversial. You know, I said that in the write-up thinking about, you know, the fact that I like to diss Microsoft a lot. That's really not that controversial. Nobody likes Microsoft very much. So it's not that controversial. But today's entry may be actually really controversial because it's about a controversial issue. Should Google pull the film? Now, the film in question here is the really stupid, poorly made film by a guy who apparently doesn't know how to use a green screen or any other film technology, video technology, that just has caused an uproar, okay, among the Muslim community. And, you know, he's dissing Muhammad and all this, and that usually ticks them off, of course. But the thing is, this film is just a sorry film. I mean, it's not like it's taken off like wildfire and everybody's watching it. You know what I'm saying? There's a trailer on YouTube for it. They had a screening in Hollywood, and 10 people showed up from reports. And it was only shown that one time, and then they just took a trailer of it and put it on YouTube, and that's what most people have seen, if they've seen anything at all, is the trailer. Well, anyway, you know, the thing is, okay, I don't want to tick anybody off. That's not my purpose. My concern here is free speech. Free speech should be free. It's kind of like open source. Open source is free. Free means it's free. You know, in the open source world, they have a saying that free is in speech and free is in beer. Now, I don't drink beer. I'm a teetotaler. But you see what I'm saying. Free speech is truly free. Free beer, somebody had to buy it. And they give it away. But free speech is truly free. Or at least it should be. But let's read this article. I usually don't read full articles here, particularly one that I wrote. But I feel like, you know, I kind of said it best in the article. Here's what I said. And now a rare somber moment from the doctor. Google says it stands for free speech. The government, our government, says that it wants the film that we're just talking about pulled. Did the video really cause our diplomats to be killed? What do you think? And from a tech and moral perspective, what should Google be required to do? And then I have a link to the Reuters news story here. The Reuters news story says Google Incorporated rejected a request by the White House on Friday to reconsider its decision to keep online a controversial YouTube movie clip that has ignited anti-American protests in the Middle East. The internet company said it was censoring the video in India and Indonesia after blocking it on Wednesday in Egypt and Libya, where U.S. embassies have been stormed by protesters enraged over the depiction of the Prophet Muhammad as a fraud and a philanderer. On Tuesday, the U.S. ambassador to Libya and three other Americans were killed in a fiery siege on the embassy in Benghazi. Google said that it further restricted the clip to comply with local law rather than as a response to political pressure. We've restricted access to it in countries where it's illegal, such as India and Indonesia, as well as in Libya and Egypt, given the very sensitive situations in these two countries. The company said this approach is entirely consistent with principles we first laid out in 2007. White House officials had asked Google earlier on Friday to reconsider whether the video had violated YouTube's terms of service. Google said on Wednesday that the video was within its guidelines. U.S. authorities said on Friday they were investigating whether the film's producer, Vasily Nakola, a 55-year-old Egyptian Coptic Christian living in Southern California, had violated terms of his prison release. Vasily was convicted in 2010 for bank fraud and released from prison on probation last June. Reporting by Gary Singh, C-S-H-I-H, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, editing by Tony Reinhold. And, of course, I don't know about the pronunciation of this guy who actually did the film. The point is, a poorly written, poorly produced film, I don't really know if that's what caused all these people to be killed in these countries. You know, how much of what they were doing was just an excuse to attack U.S. embassies? That's my question, okay? Here's some things I wrote down to consider. The supposed spontaneous protesters flew Al-Qaeda flags, which they happened to have handy, as they tore down the U.S. flag and burned it. The attacks began on September the 11th. Coincidence? I don't think so. Our government says that the attacks have nothing to do with the U.S. or U.S. policy, according to the White House press secretary. Okay. Now attacks on American embassies and installations are occurring in 20 countries in the Middle East, and they're burning both the U.S. flag and the Israeli flag. Is it really about a fourth-rate, stupid movie that some joker put together and was seen in its entirety only by a handful, and as I said, some report about 10 or less people, when it was shown in one theater? Not exactly like it's taken the U.S. by storm, you know what I'm saying? A trailer for it was posted on YouTube. Should they pull it down? Do unspeakable acts of people claiming their actions are due to a poorly produced video? Does it warrant curtailing speech? Now see, being for free speech doesn't mean you have to approve of the speech that is freely given. There's people saying things I absolutely disagree with. Okay? But I believe they have the right to say it, because if you curtail that right, then you put down freedom, personal freedoms, free speech, which is what one of the foundation principles of this country. So, I mean, the very fact that I can come to you right now on this video and freely tell you my opinion and put it out on the internet is awesome. But what if somebody somewhere decided we don't like what he's saying and just cut the switch? Well, you can flip the switch and turn me off. But a government doing that, I just don't think that's right. Okay? So here's what I'm saying. These are all things to make you go, hmm. Personally, I don't think anyone should incite violence. But I also have a problem with governments, especially our government, curtailing free speech or expression, even if people disagree with that speech. This is a slippery slope that I'm concerned about going down. These are events to watch and to consider. Now, like I said, I know that's not my normal, silly approach, but it's something that I felt so strongly about, I wanted to bring to your attention. Think about these things. Free speech is important. Now, again, I don't want to diss anybody. I don't want to get anybody upset. That's not my point. And I don't care one whit about that film. Could have been a film on knitting, for all I care. But freedom of speech, I care about. Okay? All right. Western Digital hard drives. Next item here. Filled with helium? Helium. Okay. Do you want a 4 terabyte hard drive? Yes. Well, okay. Western Digital has found a way, technologically, to inject hard drives instead of with air, with helium, and it creates a denser capability of that drive to retain data. Well, that's all well and good. I'm for that. But here's the thing. You gotta think about this. What if those drives kind of crack, a leak, you know, and helium's released into the data center? Does that mean all the server admins are going to start talking with high voices? Or is that going to be an early warning sign that their drives are leaking? Weird. Just saying. And then the final item for this week is pretty exciting stuff. I was talking about Roku earlier. I was talking about free speech. I was talking about the ability to put it out there. Guess what? We have our own private Roku channel. It's the DrBillBailey.net Roku channel. And it has all of our odd programs. Yes. On this channel. So if you have a Roku, first of all, if you don't, go click on the link and get one. But if you do have a Roku, sign into your Roku account and enter and go to the private channel. This is a private channel. It's not in the channel store. But private channel and put in the code word DrBillTV. No dot. Just Dr. Bill TV. I'll put it up here on the screen. Okay? Or you can enter this URL right here that I have on the screen. And there's also a link in the blog to click on it once you sign into your Roku account, and that will add it. Then you go into the channel store, exit the channel store, and it will go and appear on your Roku. And then you can get in on all the silliness and the other strange shows that I do with one location. Yes! How cool is that? And once you're in there, you'll have an icon on your Roku that looks like this. There, here, there, whatever. Up in the corner. Let's do that. I had to look down to see where my finger was pointing because I'm confused. Anyway, like that. Yes. So, good stuff. Spread the word. Send emails. DrBillBailey.net is on the Roku as a private channel. So, that'll do it for this week, particularly since I've done the show twice. You only got in on it once. I did it twice. Dude. So, until next time. Oh, by the way, I was going to mention, the Game Master is out of town. Sounds strange to say that my son is out of town, but he is. He went on a field trip for his school, where he is in Washington, D.C. at the Smithsonian. They're going to do a tour of old games. He's a game design major. And so they're looking into old games. Like maybe Pong. No. Pong's a little too far back. They may look at Pong, I don't know. But more like the old original, you know, Starfire and games that I used to play. Oh, yeah. Back in the day, man. Anyway, they're going to look at all these old games. It's going to be cool. Plus, they're going to get to see the Smithsonian as well. So that's kind of neat. So, no Game Master segment this week, but it's going to be here before you know it. So remember, until next time, the Doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.